Is there an old white one without stripes? I don't want stripes all over me.
Never heard such nonsense. We didn't think what colour clothes we had on in the war. Lucky to have any clothes at all with everything on coupons. And besides...
This program for an official government announcement. An enemy missile attack has been launched against this country. It is estimated that the missiles will arrive in approximately 3 minutes. 3 minutes.
God almighty, Dutch. There's only 3 minutes to go.
Hold it, I'll just
stay
get the washing.
Indoors and take
Come
cover.
Back, you stupid bitch, and Find get in the shelter.
How dare you talk to me like that, James?
Shut up and get in.
There's no need to forget our manners just because there's a war.
Shut up, I'm trying to listen.
Take shelter immediately.
I've never heard such language
in
all my life.
For God's sake, shut up!
Oh dear, I've left the oven on.
Get in!
The cake will be burned!
Lie down. Keep away from windows. Cover your head and eyes. Do not look at the sky or through windows. Take shelter immediately. Repeat, stay indoors. Do not leave your home.
Hello shortwave fans, and welcome to episode 12 of the UVB 76 and Number Stations podcast. I'm Web Weasel, your host, and tonight with me we have our regular hosts, presented in 4D.
Hello.
We have Danix.
Hey guys.
Grasp is here.
Hello.
Trojan's here.
Hi.
And tonight we have Climatics.
Howdy.
And it's our special 1 year anniversary show for the podcast. It was about a year ago that 4D and I first recorded the podcast about UVB 76. So tonight's a bit of a celebration for us, having achieved so much over the last year. I've got to say, guys, how do you feel? Now we've been doing this for a year, listening to the buzzer for a year, expanding into number stations and everything. How do you feel about the community, the podcast and everything?
I'm not the only one who's insane.
It's very unique.
Yeah, I'm quite pleased. I think we've built quite an interesting little community, haven't we? So, very pleased with our achievements. Notably, in the last week, we've been on TV in Russia, and we're going to go on TV again next week as well, hopefully. Trojan, do you want to tell us about your interview experience with Russia 2?
Yep, so it began around 2 weeks ago. Producer of Russia 2 posted on radioscanner.ru forum a message that she wants to contact with people who has some knowledge in number stations and UVB 76. So, I contacted with her, that was Rush Today producer, and I didn't get an answer, so I thought that it was just a joke. But as you old guys remember, in our Twitter, producer of Russia 2, wrote herself, so she wanted to contact with the Priom.org team, and we decided to let her contact with me. So with first mails, we just talked about the number stations theme and in one of the letters I wrote a lot of about UVB 76, that it's not a number stations itself, it's just a military station, the producer wrote about Ubisoft 6 many not true information. For example, it's a number station, a spy station, etc. So I wrote here everything that I know about Ubisoft 6, Squeak Wheel, Pip, and some other stations, E25, EO6, SO6, and something else. So I wrote that about those stations, and of course I mentioned Priyom.org in that letter. I gave her links to our radio streams page and link to Led's stream on ubi-6.net, and she wrote me that they want to contact me live, so to take an interview live with a live correspondent. So after 2 days of changing and choosing the place, we decided to have an interview in the center of my district in my city, and they came and nothing special happened. Just a local TV station appeared on a very bad car with a broken camera, so very small percent of my thoughts, and nothing that I explained her, the operator and the correspondent was in the TV show on Russia 2. They just cut off my interview. Full interview was cut off. Nothing appeared in TV show, but some frames of Premium.talk records of Buzzer include the famous Bromo message and Fairlock message, and there are some mistakes. For example, they turned on the record with the Fairlock message, and at the same time they opened the Late Waterfall stream without it audio, so you could see usual waterfall of Buzzer and plain voice message behind it. So nothing special, and I hope Rush Today show will be much better than that.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how Russia Day turns out as well. But it was very nice to see our website featured on a national TV station like Russia 2, even if, you know, the story was a general interest story and they made a mockery of the real information. We had Prion featured full view in several shots. It was very recognisable that it was the site. It's on the blog, so if you want to have a look at the video, obviously in Russian, go and check it out. But how proud can we be? We've had Priyom up since February this year, and we've already been featured on a national television television station in Russia. That's particularly great, but what's even better than that is Russia Today decided they wanted to speak to us as well, and I was interviewed over Skype with Russia Today last Monday. The feature should go out next week sometime, so we'll see what was used of that as well. But I think I was a little too wordy for being suitable for being shown on international television, so I don't reckon they'll actually use me or any of the things I said about the buzzer or the stations or Prion. But you never know, so we'll see next week. Responding to disconnected in the IRC, because obviously we are live. Too wordy, as in when they're doing these interviews, they like people to be short and sweet. They like quick answers to questions without getting into too much detail. And I have a really bad habit of over-explaining things because, you know, I'm, you know, really interested in what I'm doing, and it's a complex thing, and I've got to get this concept of all the different understanding you need across. Yeah, so you get it. I'm too wordy, man. I'm doing it right now. Blah, 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 blah. Exactly. Not suitable for television interview. So I don't reckon it'll be used. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. Okay, but either way, Prion is hopefully going to have been on national television in Russia and international television if we got on Russia Today, which is utterly fantastic. This is probably all in response to the Wired magazine article, of course. How media works is they do copy everything each other does. So they've seen the Wired magazine article, they've seen it's interested in Russia, it's got quite big on the internet, there's lots of blogs, it's been on Slashdot, there's Lade's blog that's had thousands of millions of hits. This subject's interesting to Russians because it's about them, so they're responding and putting it on their television shows, which is great for us because it means we get loads of coverage. Shame they didn't use Trojan's interview, but then also maybe a relief in a way, Trojan, because you're rather nervous of being shown on TV, weren't you? Moving on from that, let's talk about the buzzer and its activity over the last month. When we last spoke to you, it was October the 11th, and there'd been quite regular activity on the buzzer as normal. Through October, since then, we had virtually nothing at all. The buzzer had been really quiet. It wasn't until October the 22nd did we get another message at 7 o'clock in the morning, which is a standard MDZHB message. We'll play that one for you now. On October the 26th, we had a message at midday, but fading on the radio spectrum meant we couldn't actually hear it, so didn't manage to get a translation of that one. Later that day, we had a lot more activity, and things start to get really interesting. On this day, we had weird phasing sounds of the buzzer, and a suspicion, once again, that we were hearing two transmitters, or two sources to the buzzer in some way or another, but we couldn't quite pin it down in that day. What was interesting was we also heard test counts over the buzzer at the same time. So we'll play that for the edited version now. Listening to the edited version of the podcast, as you've just listened to, you could hear the buzzer quite clearly and a male voice counting over it at the same time. Now, that does suggest either the audio being mixed at the source and being sent through one transmitter, which is a possibility, or two separate transmitters broadcasting on the same frequency. But of course, it's not real evidence either way. All we can be sure of is that someone's talking while the buzzer's playing at the same time. Nothing until October the 31st when we get another message, MDZHB, and on November the 3rd when we get another message on MDZHB. However, as shown in my blog post at the time, we managed to hear two buzzers for sure. On the 27th of October, actually probably the 26th, the day before I posted it, on the 26th of October, approximately 1 o'clock in the afternoon, a second buzzer came online, but was off frequency. And over the next couple of minutes, I guess, as the transmitter warmed up, it slowly moved on frequency and came in tune with the other buzzer. Exactly. Guys, what do you make of that then? Two buzzers.
Well, it's interesting to see what we could count as evidence for, because it's something we've thought about before and we've spoke a lot about and tried to work it out. So it's nice to have more things to add to the arsenal, if you would, things that we're using to work out if there are two transmitter sites. It's interesting to note the fact that there's counting over the top of the buzzer, so voice over the buzzer. If we recall, almost a year ago now, on the 11th of November last year, so a year ago, come 6 days from now, that big conversation that happened where they were searching for the Vulcan unit, but they couldn't get contact or whatever all that was about. The buzzer's actually going on for the majority of that recording underneath it, whilst the operators are talking over the top of it to each other. So it seems it's very likely that there are two transmitter sites. So I would be quite confident to say that we can accept this as, you know, evidence that there is two transmitter sites.
Yeah, Scan Sweden's also been looking at getting IQ recordings from various sources, because he's managed to notice that from different QTHs, different positions, comparing with Linus's stream and his own reception of the buzzer, he's noticed that Linus and him definitely hear a buzzer from different transmitters, because the buzzer is slightly off frequency from its carrier. He noticed that... Sorry, got to exit Skype. One sec.
If I could just put in here.
Go for it, mate.
Yeah, I agree with Grasp. We've just been getting more and more evidence that there is possibly two transmitter sites, and as you were saying, there is a slightly off-frequency buzzer. If you use the WebSR in the Netherlands, I believe it is, we see the buzzer and its carrier is off at by about 300 hertz, and by this extent we can figure that there's something else there. Seeing as the buzzer that I hear at my house when I'm on my radio, it's perfectly on frequency. So one's radiation pattern is totally different than the other's.
Exactly. This is what Scan Sweden was explaining to me in IRC the other day. He was comparing Linus's reception with his own, finding that there was different offsets from the carrier where the buzzer was tuned. And that really suggests that there are different transmitters transmitting the buzzer. And again, if you've seen that as well, 4D, that more or less confirms it. We're seeing different transmitters. Whether they're at different sites, we're not sure. Again, talking to Scan Sweden about this, he believed that there were multiple transmitters on one site rather than being on different sites, but it's difficult. What's your opinion, 4D?
They'd have to be separated. Two transmitters at very high power on the same frequency really don't mix very well, especially with the possibilities of Russia's lower quality transmitters and antennas. They're not going to be very effective with each other. They're going to throw each other out of phase, and it's not going to do very well. So I'm going to assume that there's just two sites. I figure one directed up to St. Petersburg and one directed down to Moscow area.
Okay, that's interesting. So we're generally assuming what it's about is coverage, though. Does they just try to cover as much of this western part of Russia as possible, as far as we can tell?
Yes.
It mightn't even be that. It might just be, you know, the methods they're using to cover exactly the parts that they need to cover. And it's just the fact that it's low band shortwave, why everyone else can pick it up too.
I've never heard the second buzzer at my house, so I'm assuming that that's directed differently. I'm assuming that I hear the buzzer directed over toward St. Petersburg, seeing as that one's radiation patterns will go near my house. And I've done little theoretical radiation patterns, assuming the Estonian border site, and they perfectly cover the areas.
Okay, well, that's a question, because I'm not too familiar with some of this stuff, 4D. How directional can you make a shortwave antenna?
As directional it needs to be, it can be up to just a few degrees. It spreads out, but it just goes. It can go quite the headings.
Okay, yeah. That's interesting.
Well, we have broadcast antennas called ALICEs. Those just perfectly in the line of sight, which if you see the way that you're looking is what it transmits to. If you're right behind it, you're not able to hear it, and if you're off to the side of it, you're not able to hear it, but if you're right in front of it, you'll be able to hear it, and that's what broadcasters use. There's a transmitting site a few hundred kilometers south of me for Voice of America, and I can only hear that the best of nights because of its directionality down to Cuba and that area.
Okay, so it's only when atmospheric conditions allow it to reflect backwards towards you that you're able to hear it.
Yes.
Okay, interesting. So that does suggest the possibility that what we've got is highly directional antennas, and that explains why it's heard in different QTHs the way it is. What's heard in Sweden and the UK is in one particular direction, and what's heard in Lithuania is another. So what we need is to be able to get some IQ recordings from various SDRs in this circle around Moscow that we can get, and compare which buzz is heard where, so see if we can work out the range of these directional antennas, because if the offset of the carrier is fixed for the particular transmitter, then we should be able to identify from how it's received in various locations which antennas are heard where. Yeah?
Yes.
Awesome. Then that is something we need to add to our to-do list for the buzzer, as it will aid with our attempts at radio triangulation, because right now, with the fact that there's two buzzers going on, that's going to make it incredibly difficult to get an idea of which buzzer you're hearing. But if we can identify when people make radio direction attempts which buzzer they're listening to, we can then set up two different maps for the two different buzzers. Okay, so that's our revelation about the buzzer this month. Have we got anything else we want to talk about on the double buzzer, guys, before we move on?
It's been a slow month for the buzzer. There hasn't really been anything else go on, so I think that pretty much covers it, really.
Yep, pretty much. Okay, what have we got next? XM Wales. Grasp, do you want to talk about XM Wales?
Well, it's a weird one for me. What was the date we caught this XM Wales recently? Does anyone know off the top of their head?
Let me look it up. I'll take a few clicks on the site.
It's 3 days.
Oh, yeah, I know the broadcast lasted 3 days, which in itself is quite something, really, for a broadcast to last 3 days. That's a lot of power used, a lot of electricity used. And this thing's got a lot of power behind it, so it wasn't cheap to run for 3 days. I think it was from the 26th of
The 26th.
October. Yeah, 26th, and it finished on the 29th of October. This time it was on 6940, upper sideband, lower sideband, doesn't make a difference with this thing.
Shall I stop you there for a second? We'll edit a sample in here of it.
Yeah.
Right, so sample insert here.
Backwards music and whistles.
Now carry on.
I lost my place.
Objection. It's going to be in the lower sideband, seeing as the tones will always be going down tones really don't rise when you're dealing with something like feedback and such. They're always going down. And so, and it was centered at a few kilohertz above it in the lower sideband of the sender.
Yeah, I thought it was off by 0.2.
I'm not sure, but anyway, with this particular XM, it seems there are two different things that are both being called XM, though they're different things. This one that was on 6940 seems to be the one that you hear in the Cornet project labelled as the backwards music station. It's just some weird noise. There's people saying feedback, people saying some other type of noise, people saying recordings, loops. I don't think this is a loop, however. This is just... this is continuous and sheerly random noise. Whether it's some sort of feedback from some instrument, no idea. But it's something we're debating a lot. The other thing that we caught is that sounds like it, but it's audibly quite different. It was the idling mode for a scrambler, so that's leading people to also think it's the idler for something. But this particular thing on 6940, it's been heard many times before, and there's never anything except the random noise, so it is quite a different thing to the scrambler, which I think we had in the last podcast. If not, it was the one before it, which is pretty much backwards music station sound, a little more bassy and more uniform, I guess, with encrypted voice going on at times. I don't really know what else to say on this one, because it's stuff we've debated loads, and I don't really know where I stand with this particular station anymore. It's something I need to think about a lot, so I don't know if someone else wants to take the reins on this one.
Yeah, okay. It's interesting. I think at this point we should probably insert a sample of the scrambler from the last episode so the listeners can hear the difference between the two XM whales. So, insert sample here. Okay, so that's the voice scrambler version of XM Whales, which you can hear in its idle mode sounds similar, but in when there's voice or data going on is very, very different. Now, what's important here is that there's two different versions of what is entitled XM Whales. One definitely has voice and data transmitted and is some sort of scrambler, which is the one you just heard. The one we played previously, it's very debatable what it is. We've had a chat with a few different radio experts and no one's really quite sure. There is a suggested explanation on the signals.tanos.de site that would say that it's feedback between a receiver and a transmitter acting as a repeater very close to each other. Now, in certain very specific circumstances, it would produce the effect that we hear. But my problem with it is it's so unlikely for that combination of circumstances to exist by accident that it's very difficult to accept as an explanation. And what we really need to do is sit down with some TX gear and some receiving gear and see if we can emulate the effect of XM Whales by the setup that it's explained, which is essentially just having a transmitter transmitting the lower sideband of a frequency, say 6940, while there is a nearby receiver listening to the upper sideband. So the idea being is that the upper sideband is repeated on the lower sideband through that setup. And if there is silence on the two bands, and you will get a very slight feedback effect if it's doing this for a microphone in order to transmit it. Now, again, we've debated this, and it's difficult for us to understand how you could end up in that. Okay, 4D, go for it.
There was a video experiment on YouTube I saw which did that exact scenario, and it did work out perfectly. They took two little transceivers and just put them right next to each other, and there you go, instant feedback.
But did it sound like XM Whales, or did it...
It was, It was a pure Larson effect.
We have to experiment with it and see.
And, I was looking, myself and a few others, that is, we were looking at the spectrogram of the voice encryption whales. And if you look very, very carefully, just behind it, you still see the Larson effect behind it. So, it could just be a thing out of chance.
Okay, now that's interesting. So what you're suggesting is that both could actually be the same, in slightly different variations. And what you've actually got is, we're not hearing the upper sideband transmission at our location, but when we hear the voice through XM Wales, it's actually just a distorted version because the transmitter's not good or whatever, or it's an accidental transmission, and that's why it's distorted rather than it actually being encrypted in any way.
I recall, it's gone now, but back in like January time of this year, there was a, actually January even before that, on 5 something something something, somewhere around there was a Turkish air frequency, Turkish military air frequency, which produced a lowering tone over and over again, and it was only interrupted by the actual traffic. And we know that that was actually a problem because they're not very good with their radios. And this particular signal on 694 or whatever, that was triangulated and beamed at the Mediterranean area. And so it could simply just be just what was happening with the air frequency.
Well, this is what makes oddities like this so much fun, isn't it? Is that it could be anything from, you know, deliberate secret encrypted transmission to completely a pure radio mistake, and it's very difficult to be absolutely sure. But from the more it appears you've looked into it, the more it appears that it's actually just an extremely bad radio setup. Okay, let's move on. What's next in the script? It says Olga's here. I guess that means you, Grasp. You want to talk about the Olga's and the work you and Tucana have done, I guess.
Yeah, well, in the last podcast, by the way, I might say, I don't know if you guys are picking this up, there's a lot of banging going on. It's bonfire night here in England, so there are a lot of fireworks and shit, so I'm not going to apologise because I'm not setting them off, so fuck you. But, yeah, in the last podcast, I threw up some recordings of a group of women, Russian women, with strange call signs that appear on the frequency 6945 upper sideband in the daytime and 3815 upper sideband on the night. They check in every 15 minutes, 20 minutes, never any later than half an hour. You know, they're always on this frequency checking in. Sometimes one of them gives a particular command and they all say that they've heard it and they understand and they'll carry it out. Yeah, anyway, I threw up a couple of recordings in the last one and asked if anyone could help with what they are. Now, we didn't receive any feedback on them, but me and one of the other guys in the IRC, Takana, have been spending a lot of time monitoring the station and, you know, figuring out what the call signs are, how many people there are. There are about 20 different people, usually always operated by a woman, but there was one transmission where one of them was operated by a male operator. Anyway, long story short, we figured out what it was. It's a CIS Ardara airport network in Russia. It's lots of different airports in Russia all keeping contact and checking in, making sure that they're all keeping contact well at all times. For what reasons, we're not sure, and what we're even less sure is why they use some of the certain call signs they do. Is there's quite a few strange ones in there. If you check the pre-owned website in the oddities and identify page, we've still got a post on them and you can hear some samples in there, and we'll paste some samples in now of all the call signs. So yeah, essentially what it is a group of airports all checking in, so through persistence we've figured out what it is. It's quite saddening really that we're not going to get to listen to this station anymore and, you know, wonder what it is, because it was quite a mysterious one when you didn't know what it was. But at least we've still got questions raised as to now where these airports are, which airports they are, why they have such weird call signs, and why they need to stay in constant contact, because there's no real reason we can think why all the airports or what part of an airport would need to all be in constant contact with each other. So Yep, it's an interesting one, but it's at least part solved. It's an airport network.
Yep, that was a particularly fun one, wasn't it? It's always great to listen to those Russian call signs.
Yep, and the fact that it was always women, and some of them were quite jaunty in their ways. A lot of, there was a particularly shouty one, and some of them sounded like they smoked far too much. One of the particular operators for Amber sounded like she was on about 60 a day. So, yeah, it's still fun to listen to the broadcast. It's still one of my favourite kind of broadcasts to listen to, because they're just always, I don't know, they're fun to hear. But, yep, there's no more mystery in it. It's a airport network.
Next we got M21, apparently. Who's speaking about M21? Is that you, Danix?
Is M21 that time relay one that I caught? It wasn't sending beeps, it was sending pulses.
M21 is a Russian air defense station. It sent us a Morse code, and it sends 40-figure strings that contain the time, Moscow time, UTC plus 4, and eventually the tracking info. Usually that tracking info is not present, and they replace it with exclamation mark, question marks.
Okay, that's the one we hear over the buzzer, isn't it, Danix, or am I mixed up?
The one we hear, if you mean the one that we hear on the stream, no, that's a different thing.
That's a different one.
No, yes, this is the same station.
It is?
Yep, that's the same as it was sent 2 kHz above the S28 frequency, 4727 kHz.
Yeah, so for all those people who wonder what the Morse is you hear over the buzzer when it's in the repetitive bursts, it sounds the same over and over again, that's M21 that you're hearing, and it's the Russian air defence.
We've seen it crop up a lot over the 6 MHz lately as well in different places, and at one particular point, a few of us, Scan Sweden, myself, I think Danix and you, Weasel, a few of us noted that there were faint reply stations as well, broadcasting the same format back to M21, so it seems it's a multiple station task.
That sounds like a sort of reception report, all right, I hear you, and then I sent back my tracking information. So
possibly, but it's multiple stations.
M21 is likely more of a network than a single station in that case.
Yeah, it seems like it.
Okay, next one we've got, if we're done with M21, is the new MFSK sample that I think Danix found. That was your find, wasn't it, Danix?
Yes. It's 40-tone MFSK system sent at one baud. That's 1,000 milliseconds per tone. Tones are between 1305 and 1825 hertz. Tone meanings are same as XP's. That's space and 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 start and repeat tones. I wonder why they send it that slowly. Maybe recipient is very far and that one baud would be the best way to send and receive message. I heard it only once. Differences between XP and this MFSK, which is designated I_DM1, are: in XP, only call was sent at one baud, message was sent at 7.5 baud. There was synchronization with 6666622662626 every 64 groups, like XP8 does. Different tone spacing. XP's tone spacing is 16 Hz, and I_DM1's tone spacing is 40 Hz, like XP8's. XP has way lower tones, between 305 and 513 Hz. XP was sent always in AM, this one is USB. That's all I noted, and that's all I have to say about it.
That's some fantastic research you've done on it, Danix. Well done. Very impressive. We'll play a sample of that now. Insert sample here. And I have to admit, I really, really like this one. I think it's almost musical in its tones when it's sending the message. It's really a fun polytone, this one. As Danik says, it's very close to XPA, and we can probably assume that, like most of the XPA, XPA2 style transmissions, it's used for diplomatic purposes, and it's sending messages between embassies, most likely.
This is designated under intelligence.
Okay. Either way, it's one of the first. It is the first designation under the Prion naming scheme, isn't it?
It's the first intelligence MFSK designated.
Okay, because we designated Crab 36 first, didn't we?
Yes.
Either way, as a result of Crab 36 not being on the Enigma 2000 control list and us listening to it regularly, and this one being new, as far as we were concerned, we'd never heard this polytone before, it was decided that it was about time we stepped up a gear and moved into designating our own stations, and we finally put in the Prion naming system that was discussed in the last podcast. It's still flexible. We're still open to adapting the system as we need to, but for the moment, the rules are more or less in place, and we're starting to name stations that we hear. So expect Prion to adapt as we gain members and increase what we're listening to, and we start to cover more stations and log them and set them up on the site. The Prion naming system has been implemented, and we're go.
It's interesting as well to see another newish polytone crop up. Like, it's such a time when most people are thinking, you know, a number of stations are dying off, and here's yet another new station just popping up, and it's a polytone. So there are new, new radio oddities popping up all the time, and there's going to be more and more, so I think we can expect to see more things like this, and our designation scheme is going to be something that we're going to have to start using. Because obviously not all of it's going to be on the Enigma control list straight away, and even if it is, you know, if we're doing our own research, it's only right we designate our own things, I guess.
Yeah, it's no criticism of Enigma in any way. We're more than respect for the work that they've done and they continue to do. They're fantastic at what they do, but we're analysing things in a different way. If we hear a new transmission regularly that we decide we need to identify in some way or another, we can add a new identifier to the database, study it, put the information in, analyse it, and respond much quicker because we're using technology in a much more modern way than it appears that the Enigma group are doing. So, no criticism of them at all. We just work in a different way.
Yep, we're just a different group, so it wouldn't be right either if we just only used, you know, if we were just a repeater of Enigma's stuff, it wouldn't even be necessary, so let alone appropriate.
Yep, exactly. Okay, let's move on. Pip messages next. Tucana and Avar and a couple of other guys in the team have really started to listen to the pip and the wheel as much as possible. Avar's been pasting more wheel messages than I can keep up with, and Tucana's been recording the pip 24/7 as much as he can, and it turns out the pip is just as active, if not more active, than the buzzer is. We've got a lot of recordings. We're starting to enter them into the database now, so it's a bit scattered. We're not organised with our coverage of the pip, but soon the system will be set up and the PIP pages will be converted and we'll have a decent analysis of what's been going on. But lots of dialer style messages recently. Let's play one for you now. Insert PIP message here. Graf, do you want to tell us PIP about the dialer messages? I think you know more about the PIP than I do, to be honest.
Yep. The people are calling them dialer. It's a kind of a misspelling or mistranslation or mispronunciation, whatever. The word's Dlya, it's D-L-Y-A, meaning for. It's a message format where essentially what the the operators of the PIP are doing is asking different stations, with different call signs at least, many at once in one transmission, how they're receiving. So it shows that not only does S30, the PIP, send messages, it also receives them, because it needs to ask a signal report, essentially. It'll give all its call signs in four-figure groups. Some of them are all letters, some are letters and numbers. There are no all-number call signs, so they're majorly letters. It's more frequent they'll send these than it is they'll send the messages in the classic S28 style, where there's five numbers and then a word, then two groups of four numbers. That's pretty much all there is to say with the PIP, but it's interesting to see that it is at least as active, if not more, than the buzzer. It definitely broadcasts more, because it does these LIAR messages very often, but as far as the S28 style messages go, I don't think it broadcasts those quite as frequently as the buzzer broadcasts its messages, which it only broadcasts. It doesn't broadcast these messages that ask for signal reports from stations, which the squeaky wheel also does, so it's interesting to note that the buzzer's alone in not doing that.
Yeah, the PIP does have its own style, as does squeaky wheel as well. Both much more active at the moment than the buzzer is, so it does make you wonder. We've often considered the buzzer, considering its style of messages and the range it's covering, to perhaps be a bit more senior in the system, as it were?
Possibly. What we could find is that each of these stations, you know, S30, S32, S28, are essentially the same thing, just in different areas. But that would again bring question as to why S28 doesn't ask its recipients why they, how well they're receiving. Because we do see S28 give out many different call signs. Example one it's using very often now is 94JT. It's using that more often than MDJB at the moment. And obviously it used to use UZB76. So there's a lot of call signs from the buzzer, but it doesn't ask for these reception reports. So it's really an odd one, I guess.
Okay, let's talk about the Russian spies arrested in Germany then. This was a bit of fun. Apparently, according to the news article that was published, which is linked on the blog if anyone's interested in having a read, the husband was arrested at work, but the wife was arrested at 6:30 in the morning that time, while she was sitting at her laptop decoding a message from a number station. So she was arrested at the moment of decoding a message. Now, at the time, there were only two broadcasting. There was an XPA transmission, and one of the Morse stations was broadcasting as well. Now, we've had a chat with the members of the XO6 team about this. Yeah, Danix, go ahead. Do you talk about this?
Well, 10 minutes before the supposed right time, there was an M12 broadcast. I was thinking that it might be that one it was decoding, because you can't decode voice using computer. You need to write a message down. But then I've been told that that one was null message. So, no message in progress. The next one, the XPA, is 10 minutes later after the right time. So, I don't think so. It was that one too.
You can technically decode voice. What the case of Cuba in 1999 with V2A, they were just typing in the numbers into a computer program, and that was doing the one-time pad work for them.
Well, in this one, it says in the article that the audio cable of the radio was plugged into the laptop, and she pulled the cable out as she fell off her chair when she was arrested.
Ah.
Trojan would like to apologise and say it's 1:45 in the morning where he is, and he is falling asleep. Poor Trojan.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Good night, Troy.
Good night, Troy.
See ya.
Okay, the other thing that disappointed me about the news article about the Russian spies in Germany was that she was interrupted when she was arrested during the musical start of the number station. Now, this really bugs me. I have to say that I believe the reporter has read the Wikipedia article about number stations that mentions the musical start of, say, the Lincolnshire Poacher or Cherry Ripe, and has included this information in the article, despite the fact that there's only a couple of number stations now that use a musical interlude. Exactly, Danix, both ones I mentioned are inactive. There's a V station or two that uses a musical interlude, but that was not broadcasting at the time. And E25 uses a musical interlude, but that also was not broadcasting at that time. So it's really frustrating that this news article has gone out saying that she was interrupted during the musical interlude, which could be a misinterpretation if she was listening to XBA or XBA2, whichever of the two was broadcasting at the time. But either way, it's quite reasonable to believe that the reporter has taken some artistic license and included that information, despite the fact that it's completely wrong. Tuesday the 18th was the day it happened, apparently. But, again, very difficult to know how accurate any of the information in the article is. Right, what do we have next? Right, 20 board XPA. Danix, do you want to talk about 20 board XPA?
That's XPA sent at double speed. It was used to be sent regularly till 2009, when they converted them all into 10-baud USB transmissions. 20-baud XPA could be heard daily, wandering with 10-baud XPA and also XPA2. I wonder for what they use it.
Yeah, well, why the change is the real question, isn't it? Why have they been steadily on the 10-board XPA for the last couple of years and then switched back to 20? That's interesting. What's changed about their system? What's changed about the organisation that resulted in 20-board XPA being used now? And the other thing is, there's been, where there used to be XPA transmissions, there's now XPA2 transmissions, if I remember right, Danix. Is that right?
Well, this schedule is now gone. It was daily.
Okay, so yeah, changing in XPA. We have to study more, see if we can find anything more about it. Okay, what we got next?
But we can't, as its schedule is gone.
Well, maybe it's changed. We have to hunt it and see.
It's weird to note, though, 10-baud XPA is still present as well as 20-baud, so why use both? Obviously, it's for different recipients.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be using different receiving gear, I think that would be the reason for it.
Well, yeah. The script says, talk about the database and site changes now. Yeah, we've done a lot of website changes sort of behind the scene. Many of the station logs and so on that we had on the system have been hand edited and included in tables on the page. Now we've finally got the database up and running, the majority of pages have been switched over. We were talking about it in the last podcast, saying that we had a few pages switched over, but now 90% of them are there, and every log we go in the database goes straight up on the website as soon as it's put in. So almost as soon as the number station's broadcast, the site will be updated, recording everything. Fantastic. It won't look visually as if we changed too much on the station recording pages, but updates are instant now. We've also had a look at updating the description pages of number stations, and included a spectrograph where we've got them, and a recording of the station is a sample. So when you go to the introduction and description of a page, there's much more detailed information, better organized, better looking. Right, who's talking about, I think this is you again, Danix, E11 schedule becoming S11A on October the 24th.
Yes, it did. It sent the same ID. I haven't heard any message from that one, because next week it changed it into E11 back again.
It's always great when we hear the relationships between the stations, though, when they broadcast either accidentally or on purpose like this with the different voice, but allowing us to be sure that, you know, there is a relationship between two stations like E11 and S11A. Okay, next we've got 4D and Danix on digital mode stuff. 4D, Danix, do you want to talk about that?
Who's going to go? You, or what are we going to...
Sounds like you should take it, 4D.
Alright. Danix and I have decided that we should start a little digital mode team for Prion. Seeing as there are so many stations out there, military, utility, government, intelligence, that are in fact digital. And so we've taken the opportunity to investigate these stations and find out all we can know about them. Their relationships, what they are. Just a little bit more of a specialized team for Prion, if you... Prion. But yes, we want to cover a lot of the utility stations that we hear, clarify the differences of different FSKs, as well as I'll do in this podcast, different MFSKs, all that fun stuff.
And also stop people making mistakes like MS5 sounds like a STANAG 4285, and which sounds like RDFT.
Precisely.
Yeah, well, you've got to admit, for anyone who's new to the scene of shortwave, it's really difficult to identify some of the modes, isn't it? I mean, many of them sound so identical, but it's not until you attach a decoder and begin to notice the subtle differences between them do you begin to understand the diversity of digital modes there are out there, and just the sheer complexity there is to what you might hear.
Of course, they're very elaborate. There's so many ones that are just very, very small, minute differences, and as I'll talk about now, the frequency shift keying modes, to anybody, they just sound identical, basically, but if once you actually start listening to them, then you'll start noticing, this one sounds different than this one. And so we want to just bring those up front, say, this is what this is, this is what this is, and just clarify the differences, and make the differences known, and just make it all over easier for everybody.
Well, yeah, the point is Prion's expanding. The interest in radio and radio oddities and what's out there means that there's more to the spectrum than just the number stations we're covering at the moment, and the team has an interest in covering military stations and utilities, diplomatic digital modes and intelligence digital modes and so on, and providing rich content on the site to give you an idea of what is out there and what you can listen to. So Prion is expanding as the team takes interest in more than just number stations.
There's also a discussion of really starting to look into a lot of the different things that the military are doing on the radios, because we pick up a lot of military traffic, mainly on shortwave HF, but quite a bit on VHF as well now, with different ones of us in different parts of the world that have scanners as well, radios. So we might even find that Prion will soon enough have a section with dedicated to military things and, you know, Navy, and we've included those possibilities within the pre-owned designated scheme. We've got different designators for Navy and for Aero and ground military and such.
Yep, the site is adaptable, and new content will flow as the team discovers. Yes, the military arm pre-arm list is Shankar in the IRC says. Okay, last thing we've got in the script tonight is 4D wants to talk about different frequency shifting modes. 4D, go for it.
Alright. FSK, or frequency shift keying, it's a popular communication mode on HF. It's used by amateurs, militaries, intelligence organizations, governments, etc. There's very, very many, 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 many variations on just the same basic concept. It's the basic concept of it is radio teletype. It's sent in Bauda or a sky, just depends on who's sending it, but overall they're just the same. The mark in the space tones are, these are the ones and zeros. It's each character is represented by a combination of the ones and the zero, as we all know for how computers work. It's a very quick and easy way of sending information at very, very high baud rates. We know military is commonly used 500 or 850 hertz shift at 100 baud radio teletype modes, which is that common radio teletype that you hear in 8, 4, 6 megahertz area. Amateurs typically use a 140 shift with 45 baud. We also hear a lot of packet radio. What's your internet used to run on back in the 80s and 90s? It's frequency shift keying. It doesn't sound like it as we normally hear. That's just because the two tones just shift very, very, very quickly. If you've ever looked at something in a spectrogram and slowed it down and expanded it, you can clearly see the two tones. For example, AX25, its packet radio is commonly used all over HF and VHF. And this does sound like the old modem sounds, because it's based off of the same technology that was used in the 80s, and it was actually invented alongside of the internet. We also have SITOR, which is simplex teleprinting over radio, which is what you'll commonly hear in marine bands, because it's used for navtex, which you typically find around 8514-ish area, WLOTAH, those stations. Now, we have a few recordings of the different modes, but there are so many out there, so I really recommend learning all of them. Don't classify everything as radio teletype, because it's probably not.
Well, that's exactly what pre-arm's about, isn't it? I think one of the things we've discussed in the past, and we need to look into doing, is actually putting a page up on different modes with samples and spectrums, so that people can identify them both visually and audibly, and have them set up on the site where these are identified. And you know where I'm going with this. It's something we need to expand into, but since you have the knowledge, 4D, you know that the burden falls on you.
Lucky me.
Okay, but fantastic, nice little piece on FSK there. Cheers. Right, unless anyone's got anything else to say, that's going to wrap it up for tonight. Has anyone got anything they want to talk about?
No, it's been a pretty slow month for radio, I guess. I mean, I just got a new radio, but I haven't had much time to use it. It was nice to hear, though, the other night. The wheel was actually a lot stronger than the pip or the buzzer. And picking the wheel up in England, that's quite an oddity in itself. So maybe it's just this winter propagation, but I don't know, it was quite nice. It's been a slow month for radio.
Over here, I've heard the squeaky wheel a couple nights, which is pretty hard to get in America.
Well, there's been some particularly big sunspots the last couple of days, isn't it? And in conjunction with everyone being able to hear the wheel.
It's been fantastic lately.
Yeah, and I've got to say, one of the things I've learnt recently, and have to give a bit of advice for anyone who's listening on shortwave, is if you've got your antennas outside, keeping the contacts of your transmission line to your antenna wrapped in vulcanizing tape is really essential, because if you get water in those contacts, you're going to lose all signal on your antenna. The attenuation is going to be massive. Recently, I got myself a flagpole, managed to put it up in the garden so I could give some extra height on my dipoles. And when I took down my dipoles and looked at the connectors, they were corroded to hell. And I'd wondered why I was receiving so little on my radios recently. It felt like shortwave had just gone dead and I wasn't hearing a thing. And of course, with corroded connectors like this, I wasn't going to hear anything. So I've chopped back to dry coax, resoldered new, brand new connectors in, and wrapped everything in vulcanizing tape. And since then, my reception has gone through the roof. So essentially, for the last couple of months, I've been running without antennas, really, due to the attenuation down to the water in the cables. So, yeah, Linus, if your long wire's all rusted up, man, you're not going to be hearing anything. You need to have really good connections. It makes such a difference. Really. If you're not hearing much, go out and check that your connectors are not corroded. If they've been out in the weather and they're not wrapped up, they will be, and you won't be hearing a thing. My lesson is learned. Also, if you're in the UK and you want to get your antennas up high, local planning permission laws say you're legally allowed to put up a flagpole as long as you're flying the British flag. So if you're flying the Union flag, you can put up a flagpole. So get yourself a flagpole and raise your antennas nice and high in the UK without getting any problems over planning permission. Fantastic. Right. Anyone in the IRC got questions for us? We're supposed to be doing this in our live podcast, so anyone want to ask a question, get us to comment on something?
There is one more point to make, something we found lately, something of ours found on radioscanner.ru, and something I looked at a bit too. The station we've temporarily designated as S6930, a station that broadcasts on 6930 upper sideband, messages in the S28 format, usually giving, well, every time we've got it so far, giving out for the call sign Katoxious a bit. That's actually part of a network of some military network that has lots of different Katok call signs, Katok, and then different numbers, which is also part of the network that the call sign Bolsha is a part of, which is big. When we caught that big silent thing, that's what the call sign was, Bolsha. So that's what we've done is essentially figured out what 6930 is. So it's just a part of a bigger military network giving out encrypted messages. So it does let us know that the theory that S28, S30 and S32 are just military stations giving out encrypted messages lets us know that's pretty obviously the case.
Yep, very much so. It's surprising how much we hear of the Russian military network in the UK, isn't it?
Really is. I mean, I haven't looked at picking up any 6930 on my own RX yet, but I've only just got it, so, you know. But it's pick-upable on most SDRs that are on the online network on SDR radio.
Make sure you can hear everything from Russia on your radios. If you've got an FM radio, it was just published in utilities, or no, what it is, Numbers and Oddities, that's what it is. Just published today in their little column, I suppose. It's a lot of Russian cab companies have 10-meter CB area type dispatches. And so if you have an FM rate, you can just listen for those and those frequencies. That was published in Numbers and Oddities, and trying to hear some of those in the recent Great Upper Band propagation.
Nice. So the NNO was out today, was it?
Yes.
I'll have to download that in a minute. Okay, well, I think that wraps it up for podcast tonight, guys, unless anyone else has got something they want to talk about.
Well, that's it for me for tonight. Quite a short one.
Okay, well, that's our 1 year's anniversary for the podcast. How's it feel, 4D? It's been a year since we've been doing this.
We've only done 12 episodes.
That's not bad, one a month on average.
Well, it's good to see that so many people have been listening to it and supporting it through the entire the year and saying how much they like it. This gives us another reason to keep going.
Yeah, I have to admit, it's particularly good to know that you know, we only get, say, 6 or 7 listeners on the live stream when we're doing it, but the downloads number in there, 700, 800, 900 per episode, so it seems we've got a lot of dedicated listeners out there and a lot of people who come back and listen to the podcast time after time. So for our dedicated listeners out there, you know, the silent majority who never send in an email or drop in the IRC but regularly come to listen to the podcast, you guys keep us going. Fantastic. We're always surprised by the amount of downloads we get, so thank you very much for listening time after time. But there we go, that's 1 year into the team assembling and starting to listen to number stations. Since then, we've founded a podcast, we've started to analyse the buzzer, we founded a website covering all number stations, and now the team's got hungry for even more and is adapting into military, diplomatic and intelligence stations. Hopefully this is the start of bigger and better things for Prion. We've been on Russian TV. Hopefully next week we're going to be on Russia Today, which will be broadcast internationally. Considering it's only been since February 2011 we set up Prion, it's quite a few achievements. I couldn't be more than proud of the team. Everyone who contributes to Prion should be really proud of themselves. It's a fantastic website, and thank you very much for listening. That wraps it up for the podcast tonight. Say goodbye, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Out.
And that.
Prion.
Quiet.
And that's it. I shall say farewell. Kakslishno Prion. Good night, everybody.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in 4 parts without commercial interruption. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the shape of a war theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on report from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Rasp.
Good evening.
Oh, hi.
Hey, Grasp, you're here. Perfect, man. We haven't quite started yet, so that's brilliant.
We're just going.
Is there a script?
Hi, man.
Yep, it's on the Google Wave, man. We were just chatting about the running order and everything, making sure we're all sorted. One second, I'm just plugging my headphones in. One sec.
When I've got in there, I've come home with the kitten sleeping like on the couch, but she's not really sleeping, so she might make some noise, so I apologise for any kitten QRM throughout.
I don't see it on the waivers.
Okay, guys, how do you hear me? Kaxlishno Prion.
Was na bit baller.
Well, are we starting in 6 minutes?
Yeah, well, the tweet said 9 o'clock, so why not? Poor Trojan.
Dramatic.
It's like 1 in the morning for him.
Как слышно, прием?
Слышу вас на 5 баллов. Прием.
Oh, wow, you guys are awesome.
Хорошо.
Хорошо.
Ассистент электричка, хорошо.
Электричка, ассистент, бас на 3.
Иногда я вижу макуло.
Хорошо.
Central is silent.
Раз, два, три.
Смотри.
Ноль, позор, позор.
7, 5, 9, 7.
Boy, boy.
Boy, 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 boy.
Right, I can't be asked to wait around. Should we just get it started?
I'm still just opening the script here. Although I don't read, I suppose. Yeah, go.
Okay.
Grasp, your mic's so noisy.
Yeah, it's the computer itself, so I can't fix it, really. I have to fix it in post-production with a high-pass filter.
Okay, let's have 10-second silence to mark the start of the recording, please.
I think you should wear your headsets.
It does make a difference.
Did you blew the pre-amplifier connector?
There would be no echo then.
Well, I once tried to plug in a carbon microphone into the microphone collector, and afterwards it behaved very weird.
Yeah, you also built an X-ray machine.
Bear with me, I'm kicking this cat out, it's pissed me off.
Ocho, ocho, tres. Ocho, ocho, tres. Cinco.
Wait, 5 messages?
Yes, 5 messages. Because it is for man.
Pinca, ocho, cuatro, pinca, atención.
Atención.
No.
Uwaga.
Baja la vez.
Atención. Uwaga.
Final.
Uwaga. Внимание.
Oh, no, we should just code the entire podcast.
Achtung.
Just for shits and giggles. Just say, hey, do you want to listen to the podcast? Too fucking bad.
Внимание. Sim.
Now sim, you introduce sim, me sim. To Easy Pal. Sim. All I want to do is get some TX gear, get Trollface, and alternate it in between the buzzer pulses.
I can do that easily.
We should so do it, man. It'd be so much
five,
fucking fun.
8, 4, 5, 8, 4, 0, 0, 0.
You're too close, mate.
Am I?
6, 7, 4.
5, 6, 7, 4.
6, 7, 4.
Yeah, Trollface and Crossbones.
0,
really good.
0,
8, 2, 0.
Repeat.
This is
7,
we're not trying
five,
to get it.
9, 7, 5, 9, 4, 2, 8.
That's particularly scary, climate.
Yeah, that's terrifying.
3, 2, 7, 5, 0, 3, 8.
Stroke me await somebody to do an XM Wales impression.
We are all just epic.
One minute to go.
We're starting the countdown.
Buzz.
One minute and counting.
XM Wales.
Yeah, we get to have the great debate about whether Leaf's right about his TX gear and XM Wales.
Nobody's right.
Nobody's right. Yes.
10 seconds to go.
It's Alien. Yes.
And we are fucked.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 1, 0.
Zero.
Hello, shortwave. Danik, shut up. Right, we'll start now. Be quiet. Ready? Is everyone here? Grasp, you here?
Yep.
Right, good. Everyone's here. Okay.
Please remove headphones. Loud SSTV follows. Please remove headphones. Loud SSTV follows.